141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The Scotland autopsy continues as the Euro 2024 group stages wrap up. Sead Haksabanovic leaves Celtic for Malmo. And what does the future hold for James Tavernier after captaincy rumours? I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Kenny Miller.
Yeah, just off the back of obviously a disappointing Euros for the national team. For me, it's not been a great Euro so far anyway, but obviously for Scotland perspective, really, really disappointing in terms of some of the performances, the results, and the fact that we've exited the tournament at the group stage, where there was so much hope and belief and confidence going into this one that this could have been history made in qualification for a knockout round. But unfortunately, it wasn't to be. And again, looking forward now, yes, we've still got the end of the Euros, but I'm looking forward to this domestic season getting started up again. Teams back pre-season, and we've got a League Cup campaign on the horizon.
Yeah, because we're in that sort of awkward middle period at the moment where we're still looking back on the Euros, and people have a lot of opinions about that. But the people that are more concerned with domestic side of things are already looking at pre-season, they're looking at new signings, they're looking at rumours as well, and there's plenty going on at the moment.
Yeah, there certainly is. I mean, we spoke about it towards the end of the season that more on the blue side of Glasgow, there was going to be a lot more probably comings and goings going through the doors at Ibrox than there would be across at Celtic Park. But I'm sure Celtic will still be really kind of busy in the transfer market with ins and outs. So, it's all going at the moment. I still think there will be so much. I mean, there's still so much of the transfer window left right up until the end of August. So there'll be a lot of action right up until then. But I still think there's definitely on the Rangers side, there still needs to be a few more through the door pretty quickly.
Yeah, well, let's hear from you. 01419511025 is the number you need. Or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. As I say, whether it's looking back on whether it's just Scotland's final game against Hungary, maybe it's the campaign as a whole, maybe you want to look forward from a Scotland perspective and what needs to change going into the Nations League. And as we say, plenty of transfer rumours going on as well. A lot to do with Celtic and Rangers. Sead Haksabanovic has left Celtic for Malmo today. Is that the start of a clear out that Brendan Rodgers needs to do before he brings players in? There's a bit of rumour about Rangers captaincy, James Tavernier, Jack Butland. Maybe Rangers fans, you've got some opinions on that as well. So give us a call, 0141 951 1025. And a bit later on in the show, you'll have the chance to win £800 on the Pundit Predictor. I'll tell you in a bit how you can do that. There's also some Euro 2024 games going on at the moment, and probably no surprise given the way this group is going that both games at halftime are a draw. Romania are 1-1 with Slovakia, Belgium are 0-0 with Ukraine. All teams, as it stands, after 2.5 games, are sitting on 4 points. It's going to be some climax to this group, isn't it, last 45 minutes?
It is looking like the group of death. You know, like they're looking at a team as it stands at this moment not qualifying with 4 points. Like, I was actually running through it with my son when I was on holiday, and he was asking, what does Scotland need to do to qualify? And blah, I went, well, if they win, they're through. He went, 100%. I went, well, no, 100%, but you would need to be really, really unlucky not to qualify with 4 points. And it looks like someone at this moment in Group E is going to be missing it with 4 points, which would be incredible. But I'm sure there'll maybe be a few comings and goings between now and the end of the matches.
Yeah, it looks as if Ukraine would be the unlucky team at the moment that would go out with 4 points. But it looks as if other teams will get through with 3 points as well, just the way that the best placed third team table goes at the moment. But we'll keep you up to date with any goals that happen in that. There is still a bit of interest, of course, in Euro 2024 despite Scotland being out, but we will start there. Just looking back at the tournament as a whole, Kenny, how do you view it after a few days after it's done?
Ultimately, one of disappointment. I definitely feel that Steve and the players and everybody involved in the team all feel it's been an opportunity missed. You know, I'll going into the tournament, it was always going to be a tough opener. I don't think anybody would have accepted that type of performance and result or expected it. But once it came, you know, you had to dust yourself down and move on. And the points that they were always probably going to get were going to be from those games against Switzerland and Hungary. Based on, again, I looked and thought we're pretty evenly matched. And I think the games proved that. There was nothing in the games. But what we really, really lacked was any type of creation at the top end of the pitch, any kind of cutting edge from our attacking play. There was just zero of it right through all the games, even the Switzerland game. Like, we got our goal from a counter attack and it was well constructed. And again, there was an element of fortune in that as well, with a big, big deflection when it clearly would have went straight into the goalkeeper's hands. So that's an area that I think as a team that we need to try and find a way to improve. How we do that, again, that's for Steve and his staff to kind of work out, because the players that you would probably want with the kind of attributes we maybe don't have. So we need to find a way to be more attacking, to carry a bigger threat, because in a game that we needed to win against, in my opinion, I didn't think how hungry we're on that 14 game unbeaten run based on what I've seen, and particularly in that game, I don't know. But we were a better team than Hungary, in my opinion. And how we went through that game, in a game we needed to win, we never had a shot on target. Well, you're not going to win a game of football when you don't get a shot on target. So it's something that we definitely need to, that's where we need to improve, because going into the tournament, I was really concerned about us defensively, and that was only, again, heightened by the opening game. But we actually defended pretty well against Switzerland and Hungary, but we had no cutting edge up top.
01419511025 on the phones. Gordon is first up in Airdrie. Gordon, how are you tonight?
Yeah, I'm good, guys. How are you?
Yes,
that's good, Gordon.
How are you reflecting on Scotland a few days out from being knocked out of the tournament?
Yeah, I was at the game, and I just couldn't believe how passive we were. I mean, I've been to Spain in 82, Italia in 90, and those teams gave their all. You can walk away thinking, you know, they've gave their best shot at it, but I just think it was an opportunity missed against Hungary. They didn't press us. They sat in. And even at half-time, if Steve Clark, you know, waited half-time, he's got to bring on James Forrest, he's got to bring on Shankland and have a go. And I just felt it's an opportunity missed, you know.
Yeah, Gordon's mentioning the substitutions there. Do you feel that it could have been done differently? Well, did changes need to be made earlier? I know certainly during the Switzerland game there were calls for maybe Steve Clark to be a bit more proactive than reactive. It looks as if players were maybe being taken off just because they were getting a bit leggy, that they looked a bit tired. Did he maybe need to be a bit more proactive in trying to affect the game and, you know, more impactfully?
What I thought, again, it's funny that's the first call. I've actually got down a kind of like minutes that our attacking players got. You know, I mean, Shea Adams obviously started all games and he was always going to be that way. But Lauren Shankland, with 30-odd goals this year, got 22 minutes of football.
Yeah.
Lewis Morgan comes on in the 89th minute of the last game where we need to win. James Forrest and Conway got no minutes. You know, like, we've actually not blessed with a number of attacking players, but the ones we even had in our squad never got utilised. You know, I was really, really surprised that it was Lewis Morgan that got the nod ahead of James Forrest. That's a guy that's had barely been capped before, obviously getting the call up, the late call up to come into the squad.
He wasn't even in the original
squad
as well, Lewis Morgan.
But you've also got a guy who has proven at international level, has finished the season on a real high in terms of his own personal form, but he's won a league and a cup double. Like, he's got the call up, which again, he must have been so re-energised in terms of getting that call to get back into the national team and go to the Euros. I think his last appearance was at the last Euros. And he doesn't even get a minute. And I'll tell you the one thing, the one chance that came to mind in terms of this was Lewis Morgan went through an injury time. And you're thinking, right, okay, come on now, this is what we're waiting on. And he hesitated and he stalled. And then he tried a wee reverse pass that got cut out and it led to nothing. Hungary were leaving five players up the pitch. We never had any moment, even in that time, where we actually created a really good chance, where we had the overload. We had four guys against three defenders at a lot of times in the last 5-10 minutes of the game. And that was a big opportunity. I felt that Lewis Morgan, being an attacking player, shift and shoot, or go and be positive, go and be decisive in that final third. And it looked like he froze. You know, for me, James Forrest would have been a better player in that situation. You know, I just think he's more experienced, and I think he's been more calmer in that type of situation. But listen, this is all kind of the autopsies, like you say, in the analysis of it. James Forrest might not have got into that position. You know, I understand that. But I just found it strange that a guy who's finished so strong in particular, in games that we needed to win, never got any minutes.
Gordon?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, as you know, Kenny, James Forrest has scored a few goals for Scotland over the years. He knows how to do it. And I just can't understand. I'm a Rangers guy, by the way, but I've had him on certainly after the first half at least. But we just see me pass from back to middle, left, right, back to middle. And Hungary weren't going to press us. They just sat in. And I just couldn't understand why we didn't make the changes. It's almost as if Steve Clark's got a different mindset when he gets us here. And when he gets us here, he overthinks it. I don't know what to make it. You know what I mean? It's just like a different mindset altogether.
Did the approach against Hungary surprise you, Kenny? Because they look to be more on the front foot. They look to be, you know, a bit more positivity against Switzerland. I think people just assumed that would carry on against Hungary in a game that Scotland needed to win. Steve Clark said himself, you know, 3 points was the minimum they needed. He wasn't there to get 1 point. Are you surprised that then all sort of fell a bit flat and it was, you know, in the way that Gordon said, was quite passive, or were there circumstances that led to that?
I think there were circumstances that led to that. You know, I felt what gave us a real foothold and energy within the Switzerland game was us going after Switzerland. So this is now off the ball stuff. Mm-hmm. You've seen McGinn was higher up in terms of getting pressure on the Switzerland back line. You've seen McTominay was now getting higher in and around Granit Xhaka. But also behind that, you've seen how high Billy Gilmore and Callum McGregor were actually getting on. I felt it was our off the ball kind of press and that energy from the players that got us the foothold in the game. And then we got the early goal off the back from a counter. I think it was a corner or a free kick, wasn't it? And it was a counter attack that got us a goal. Goals change games. They change the whole kind of momentum and the mindset of teams within the game. And we were pretty solid and pretty good in the Switzerland game. Better against Hungary. I mean, Gordon just says it. They just let us have the ball. And we had no way of breaking that down. Absolutely no way. Once we got the ball forward, so many times it came back. You know, once we were through a line, we never stayed through a line. And again, for me, that's down to the players that we have in the attacking area. I've said it. I think the two top scorers in the last two campaigns have been McGinn and McTominay. Well, McTominay's a number six, if you want to label him. You know, and he's been absolutely outstanding in terms of arriving in the box for Scotland, particularly in this campaign. And John McGinn, listen, he's got incredible amounts of goals for a midfielder. But he's a midfielder. He's not even a particularly creative midfielder. John is really, really effective at the job that he does. But if you're asking him to be the guile and the creative force to go and create opportunities or go and dribble past players, and we just don't have those players. And it's just really, really been highlighted by probably in the last two major tournaments. As much as we say experience might stand us in better good stead going into this one, I still think our deficiencies were really, really highlighted.
With that lack of creativity, Gordon, what do you feel needs to change going forward, going into this Nations League campaign where we're up against, you know, more good quality sides?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. You know, changing the managers, is it going to help too much? I don't know. I mean, I think we've got some young players coming through. Hopefully they'll come to fruition by the time we get to there. But I'm not sure changing the manager will help. I'm not quite sure, to be quite honest. I just feel it almost looks like Steve Clark's got a mindset when we're qualifying, and then he overthinks it when we get to the tournament itself. That's what it feels like, but I don't know if that's the case or not. You know. So.
Did you feel that was the case, Kenny, or did you feel the signs were maybe there in the lead-up to the tournament? Because at the start of qualifying, Scotland were very good, scoring lots of goals, not conceding many goals at all, and then in the lead-up to the tournament, there were those friendly matches that were selected by the Scottish FA, very tough opponents for Scotland, conceded a few goals, took a few beatings. There was then the pre-tournament friendlies that didn't quite go to plan either. Were there warning signs there in the lead up to the tournament that it wasn't just a case of black and white, that pre-tournament all was going fine and then Steve Clark completely changed his approach and did something else in Germany?
You know what? Like, I genuinely think that what this team have done and the results that they produced at the start of the campaign, again, mainly the Spain game, you know, because we deserved to win that game. That wasn't our backs against the wall, defend for your life type of performance where you nick goals. We won that game 2-0 and limited Spain. Yeah, we had to defend well, but again, you were going to have to do it. We were excellent that night, deserved to win. In terms of the overthinking thing, we've played the same way. You know, maybe the players and the team are just not at the same level as what they were, or by the way, riding the crest of the wave that we were over the first five games of this qualifying campaign where the damage was done for us in terms of qualification. We've just not been at that level, and that's going into the tournament, that's where my concerns were. The fact that we were conceding too many goals, we didn't really look, even against Gibraltar, I don't think, we had 20-odd shots on goal or whatever it is, but was there a real opportunity that we really, really cut them open and created a really good chance for a Shea Adams or a Shankland or I think the only one I could remember actually fell, ironically enough, to James Forrest, where it was a good bit of play down the left, cut back, and James probably shouldn't have done a little bit better. So I just think there were signs there. I wouldn't say Steve maybe overthinks it. I think when we come to this stage, everybody's expecting to be right at the top of their game. And unfortunately for us, in the last two Euros, when it's got to the finals, we've not been at the top of our game for some reason.
There's been a lot of focus on Steve Clarke, but looking at the players, quite a few of the players, having spoken to them over in Germany, admitted that at that Germany game, they were overawed by the occasion. Nerves played a part, that they maybe weren't in the right mindset. They'd hyped themselves up a bit too much. Do you think they managed to resolve that for the next two games?
Again, I'm surprised that I've actually never heard that type of chat about being overawed.
Andy Robertson certainly said it
a couple of times. The Champions League final winner and Premier League winner and playing for Liverpool in all the games. That really, really surprises me.
He said the occasion got to a few of them, talking about the Germany game, the first one.
Well, listen, that for me is big kind of concerns when you've got particularly that probably your most decorated player in terms of what he's achieved and where he's played at, actually openly admitting that, because that for me should be one of excitement that you're going into this stage. You're captaining your team at a major tournament. So I can understand it is a huge occasion. The eyes of the world are on this game. I get that. But the eyes of the world are on a Champions League final and all that, and you've been there a number of times, semi-finals, winning cup competitions, leagues. It's that's surprising to me, because did we address it in the next two? I think we performed better against Switzerland. We weren't great against Hungary, like I say. It had a very, very similar feel, let's be honest about it, to the last Euros. We never performed in the opening game against Czech Republic. We kind of got a wee bit up for it, and we got a brilliant result against England, a battle draw. And then when we had the chance, we fell short against Croatia. This is just, I know the results have been the exact same, but I think even the performances have kind of dipped and peaked, and they've kind of went the same kind of trajectory as what the last one did as well. So that's something for us we need to have a look at, we need to address it. Right, we're here now. How do we find a way to be more competitive? How do we find a way to have more of a cutting edge up top of the pitch? Again, going back to the pre-tournament, really, really disappointed when Ben Doak called out, because he has got attributes that we need, any team needs. Lightning pace makes it puts the fear of death into defenders with movement and pace. We just really don't have that. You think any player with that really, like I say, guile, creativity, pace, and really good movement at the top end of the pitch, we probably lack that.
Well, thank you to Gordon. We'll speak to Graham next. He's got a few questions about Scotland, and you can be after him if you call 01419511025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, brought to you by UK Debt Expert. In the time it takes to play a match, 145 people will have asked them for help with their finances. Their free debt advice has helped over 250,000 people and counting. So if you're struggling with debt you can't control, talk to UK Debt Expert. There is a solution for you. Check out ukdebtexpert.co.uk. Still some Euros games ongoing at the moment, still two draws in this very, very tight group, all four teams sitting on 4 points as it stands. Slovakia 1, Romania 1, Ukraine 0, Belgium 0. So it's going to be a grandstand finish for that one. I was just looking at the other group, or one of the other groups that was decided in quite ridiculous circumstances, that two teams, was it Denmark and Slovenia, finished on the same points, the same goals scored, the same goal difference. And it ended up being settled by disciplinary matters, because every single player essentially had had the same number of yellow cards as well, that it came down to a Slovenian coach. I think the assistant manager got booked, and that meant Slovenia finished under Denmark in third place. That's quite incredible, isn't it?
And he must be out of a job now then.
They got through, at least. They stuck through as a third best place third team, but imagine they hadn't.
It is incredible to see. I mean, I did look at that and I was wondering, I wonder what kind of criteria is going to be kind of thrown in here based on all the identical records. But that is incredible. Just if you were to imagine you were the guy who is as a coach as well getting booked, that costs your team qualification. Like you say, fortunate enough that they're going to go through as one of the best placed third finishers. So it's but it is incredible. I mean, it has been so tight that even the games against like the bigger nations against the smaller nations, there's been, again, really out with that kind of opening game, and there's been maybe a couple of games, I think Spain obviously winning 3-0 and Romania winning 3-0 also, that the games have been so tight. There's been a lot of late goals. So there has been excitement there. I just think for what we expected, the quality's maybe not quite been as good as what it could have been.
I remember looking at all the permutations last week when there was still a chance we could get through in third place or second place, and having to look at you know, disciplinary, if it got that far, disciplinary record. If your disciplinary record's exactly the same, it just goes to FIFA world ranking as well. I don't know how far it goes down before you just have to toss a coin to see who finishes second and finishes third.
Well, we were done in there. We were obviously the lowest ranked team in the group. So yeah, it was, I never went down that far. I was just looking at wins and draws and how many points we would probably need. So it was, but again, it has been, I think because some groups have been so tight, it is going to go down to these kind of goal scored, goal differences, and obviously now bookings as well.
Yeah, I wish we had that type of nonsense to worry about, but yeah, Unfortunately not at the moment. Give us a call, 01419511025, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. Graham is on the line in the East End. Graham, how are you?
Yeah, I'm okay. I think I've grown a beard here the length of the time I've been waiting on you.
Sorry about that, Graham.
No, that's okay. Joking aside, Kenny, how are we?
I'm good, Graham. Yourself? Sorry to keep you waiting.
I'm trying.
What's your point tonight, Graham?
Well, there's a few, and I've been listening, as you know, for the last maybe 20 minutes or so, and there's a lot of things I would like to address Kenny with. But first and foremost, literally 30 seconds out of Kenny's mouth there. We didn't try. There's been a lot of ongoings with the tournament at the moment, and sneaky draws and 4 points and 3 points. As Kenny Liberty said 5 seconds ago or 10 seconds ago, we finished the worst UEFA tournament rankings. Now, this is my first point of Kenny. I've got a lot, so I'll try and cram them in. Kenny, you played for Scotland. You played for the badge. You played for both sides. I'm a Rangers man, and I still believe you're a Rangers man. That aside, what would you have done differently? That was my main question to the producer, because I think we have absolutely not turned up. We've not turned up, let alone had a backup plan or a B or a C or a D or an F plan. And I'll tell you the reason why. It kind of pains me. Stevie Clark did get there, as you just said. As I said to the producer, I've been listening to you guys for a while. That's true. But the facts are he did not change anything when we were in trouble. He didn't change anything when he thought he could have changed. Is that the mindset of him being that stubborn? Because I've heard this a hell of a lot, and I'd appreciate this from a footballer, a professional footballer. His mindset being that stubborn, as you just said there, why was James? Why, I'm a Rangers man. Why was James Forrest brought in a tournament? I mean, my cousin is my best pal, and he's got a season ticket to Celtic, and he's went, James Forrest has been the best player for the best part of the five last games, and he got the call up. I think he scored 4 goals out of 5. Is that right? Maybe 3 out of 5.
Listen, he certainly finished the season off in great form.
He finished it off the scale. So he got that call up and done nothing. Kenny, what's your thoughts on that?
Listen, I'm surprised at you, and one of the reasons I felt James Forrest should have been in the squad pre-tournament was at some point I genuinely felt that we would have had to change at some point. Again, it's been proved kind of correct to an extent that we won 1-1 against Switzerland. Are we settling for the draw just to take it to the last game and putting all our eggs in that basket? Or can we maybe get a centre back off, because we're actually quite comfortable within the game and we're defending pretty well? And can we maybe go a more, can we get another attacking player or two on the field?
Why not change it though? Because you're going right on to my next point.
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand why not, particularly in the last game. You know, we kind of stuck, and I know you could say, well, he put Lewis Morgan on and he took Andy Robertson off. It was in the 89th minute. You know, we've got players. We're no blessed with an abundance of attacking players, but when you've got two guys who are attacking, Conway and James Forrest, and even Morgan, that's thrown. They've got 1 minute between them at the end of a game.
That's horrible. That's horrible. And you actually kind of stole my thunder for the next one, because, I mean, we've got Billy Gilmore, and I think everybody addressed it. Listen, Germany, I don't think anybody was expecting anything. Everybody was shouting and this and shouting that, and I like Scotland, I love Scotland, but I just didn't see anything that I could see a game plan that he could turn out. And I don't know just correct me if I'm wrong, how many players were unused in that tournament that he took?
8.
That could have made a difference.
So I mean, including, there was 2 goalkeepers in that, so 6 outfield players didn't get any game time at all.
So does that say it all about Stevie Clark's stubbornness that he sticks with players? I mean, I know I'm going to repeat myself here. James Forrest is a legend at Celtic Park, right? And Kenny's probably played with him. That guy could, I don't know, it's ifs and buts, but why can't you? My brother said this is probably the best way to put it to you guys. He's a dinosaur. Stevie Clark is a dinosaur. There's no formation to turn into maybe like 50 minutes or 60 minutes. I mean, how many managers do you play under, Kenny? 5, 6?
Oh, for a lot more than that.
more than that, right.
I played for more than five or six international managers, yep.
Yeah, that's a compliment. So this is my main thing I say to Kenny boy.
But John, just to interrupt you, I mean, Steve Clarke has taken Scotland forward. I know you're calling him a dinosaur, but Steve Clarke has taken Scotland forward. Scotland hadn't qualified for major tournaments for 20 years, and Steve Clarke has managed to get Scotland to. So surely he's progressed Scotland in some way. And look, we've got to major tournaments and they've only taken 2 draws from 6 group stage games. I completely take that. But has there not been some good points as well with Steve Clarke where he has taken this Scotland side to the next level? It's just about trying to progress them to the point where they can compete with teams at major tournaments.
That was my next part of it, to put it to the two.
Sorry, Graham.
No, that's okay. You keep stealing my thunder. No, you're right. And I applaud the guy for that. I do. I mean, when was the last major tournament? 1998, France.
Yep.
I think my girlfriend was actually taking the team over there for the Scotland game. She was working for some kind of Emirates team. Trolley dolly. You know what I mean? Flight attendant. So 1998, so... we come forward. Yeah, I agree with you, Andrew. I do. He did take us, but he's not took us. This is what I'm hearing, and I've got a lot of people, you know, on my Facebook and on my Twitter and stuff like that. They're not slating him. It's frustration. He did, yes, 100%. I agree with you, 100%. And I don't know what Kenny's thoughts are. He did take us, but he's not. He's not done the gung-ho. Does that make any sense? He's not...
Is that the challenge now, Kenny, for Steve Clarke, is to prove that he can take Scotland a further level? Because he has taken Scotland to the next level in terms of getting them to major tournaments. Does he now need to prove that, you know, he can take on the big teams? Yes, there was that one against Spain. But it is tough to get to that next level because, you know, you've got the players you've got at international level. But does he maybe have a point to prove going forward, whether it's in this Nations League group or... How do you feel?
I genuinely don't think... See, point to prove, I don't think he has. I think what we need when we get to this stage, we need more from him, his staff. We need more for the group. Like, because we've proven now, yep, we've got there and it's great. You know, we're so long without a major tournament on our record and we've went back-to-back Euros and lost in the playoff to the World Cup as well. You know, so... I don't think he's anything to prove. We just need to find a way to be more competitive at the level, because when you get there, you're playing against the elite, you know, and also you need to be at the top of your game. So as players, you need to be at the top of your game. I do believe everybody can give more. You know, the players can be given more. Steve Clarke can be given more. His staff can be given more. But we need to find a way to be more of a threat. You know, I think this is where Graham's going with it. In terms of going gung-ho and using these types of things and changing the systems, we need to find a different string to your bow. You know, when it comes to the crunch, and a game, like I say, I'll go back to it, and a game we needed to win against Hungary, and by the way, in my opinion, they were a poor team, or they were definitely poor on that night. We never had a shot on target. We need to win the game. You know, and I'm going to go back on it again. They just left players up front and we're just saying might sneak through with two. There was a permutation that could have got us through. Mm-hmm. But we need to win. So we're leaving guys up front and we're leaving ourselves bare at the back. We still never created a chance. You know, and that's where the concern for me is. That's the challenge for Steve Clarke and his staff and these players, to find a way, even in these types of, by the way, positive conditions that we had at the end of that game, to go and get a chance and score a goal. We never done it, and we never created the chance. I mean, watching that game, I says to my wife, somebody's scoring here. I don't know who, but somebody's going to score. And unfortunately for us, it went the other way, because both teams were kind of going at it. But by the way, Hungary were really going at it. They were just leaving guys standing up the pitch and leaving themselves bare at the back, and we couldn't take advantage of it. So I think Graham's going down that line, whereas we need to have more attacking threat. maybe we need to have a plan B, a plan C. Can we throw more attacking players on the pitch? Which, by the way, should carry a more attacking threat or give us more attacking threat. That's something that we need to be looking at moving forward.
Well, thank you to Graham. John is up next in Maryhill. What do you make of it all, John?
I think it's a bit of a joke, mate, what the players he's selected for. Call-ups.
Who should have been called up instead?
I think John Sutter should have got a call up for a start. And I think Ross McCrory should maybe get better game time at right back instead of Tony Ralston, who only played 9 games in the season for Celtic.
I think he would have played more than 9 games for Celtic over the season. But just to put those to Kenny there, John Sutter, do you feel he would have made a difference? Scotland were short in the centre-back area, of course, with the Ryan Portis red card and the injury to Kieran Tierney. Would John Sutter have made a difference?
Listen, I always thought John would have just missed out on the squad based on the other options that were there for Steve Clarke. Again, a lot's been made of Steve maybe being stubborn or again, I think I've heard loyal to players that have actually done the job for him. So I think the likes of Coopers and Hanleys and Tierneys and Hendries and Portuses were always going to be ahead of John Sutter in my mind. And when you've seen when the 28-man squad was named, I think it was pretty clear that the changes would have came in the defensive area had it not been dealt with the injuries, which it turned out to be. And I always felt John might miss out. Would he have made any difference? I don't think so. I don't think he would have made any difference to what actually transpired over the three games.
What about in that right wing back role, John, saying that Ross McCrory maybe should have got the nod ahead of Anthony Ralston?
Listen, maybe over the course of the three games he could have maybe found what he has got is they're different players. I think both of them are pretty solid defensively. They don't really offer what maybe an Andy Robertson or a Hickey or a Patterson can go in an attacking sense, and that's something again we maybe overlooked how important that role could have been for the likes of Hickey and Patterson, giving you that attacking edge down the right hand side. But what Ross maybe brings more than what Tony did, he's maybe got more legs, you know, he's maybe got a bit more pace. He maybe could have gave something in one of the games. I'm not saying he should have replaced Tony Ralston, I'm not saying that, because he's very, very inexperienced at the level, but maybe it could have featured at some point when you maybe just needed a runner more of a runner on that side of the pitch, and I think Ross could have provided that. So, but again, these are all small details that how would they have really affected it? Who knows? I just think the biggest thing was obviously top end of the pitch, not getting as many chances, probably what we should have.
Yeah, I think it was 18 games in total for Anthony Ralston last season. But John, just looking forward, do you feel, just based on what you're saying, that Steve Clarke maybe needs a refresh of the squad, or there other players that maybe need to be called up for these Nations League games that weren't in the Euro 2024 squad?
I know there's people who obviously stick to the players that Scottish carried to them, and that, I get that, there's loyalty in that, but you're going to go with the players that's playing a better football, in my opinion anyway. I don't know how that Shea Adams has started the three games when Scotland's top goal scorer in the league, they get player of the year, Shanklin. The boy knows where the net is. He can only score against who he's playing against, and he's done it week in, week out in the SPL. So why is he not getting a chance in the big tournaments when Shea Adams never done it the first two games? You're chasing goals. You have to win the game. You're keeping that boy on the bench for the last 15 minutes.
Can you see why Shea Adams got the nod, Kenny?
I can see exactly why he got the nod, particularly in the first game. But I do agree with John as well in terms of, for me, Lauren Shankland, I think he's the most all-round striker that we had in that squad. And again, I think as I already say, I think it was roughly 22 minutes, maybe plus an extra couple of minutes of injury time where he actually he got on the pitch. That's not a lot of time to be actually asked to go and kind of do the job that you probably need to do. In the last game, what he came on for the last 14, 15 minutes, when we needed a goal, there is nobody was going to have had more chance probably to get us a goal than Lauren Shankland. And he's proved that time and time again for club and even for country as well, by the way, popping up with that last minute equaliser against Georgia as well. He showed how kind of predatory he was in that situation. And see, when you're playing a different type of player, you might get different opportunities. You know, the reason Sheridan was given the nod is based on his work ethic. He's quicker, probably a little bit more powerful in the running, and able to work. When I say work harder, I don't mean Lawrence doesn't work hard, but he can work harder and quicker because he can run faster. So when he's pressing, he can do it. If he's chasing lost causes, he can do it quicker. And I think that's why ultimately would have got given the nod. But sometimes I feel Lawrence Shankland's a better target to get the ball into him. I think he's really, really good at getting the ball into him and bringing other his teammates into play. That's a big part of being the lone striker for Scotland, is bringing your teammates into play, getting you up the field. And I feel that Lauren Shankland's better at that. So I think definitely he could have got a lot more minutes than the 22 minutes that he got.
Well, thank you to John. How about this, an extra way to enjoy the Euros as well? Your chance to win cash with Call Robert by simply guessing the Euros results on our pundit predictor. John in Easterhouse didn't have a good one last night. He predicted both England and Denmark would win. That means we've added another £100 to the pot, and you can now win £800. To win the money, it's even easier tonight, because all you need to do is predict the result. Sorry, easy for me to say. Don't know what happened there. Predict the result of two games. Just getting so excited about handing out cash here. All you need to do is predict the results of two games. Czech Republic against Turkey, Georgia against Portugal. Those are the two 8 p.m. games tonight. As an added bonus, you'll go up against Kenny. We'll get him to give his predictions as well. So call now for your chance to win £800 with Call Robert, 0141 951 1025. And we'll talk to you next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Remember, we are down to our 1 hour summer format for the next few weeks, but still plenty of time over then to get your calls in, whether it's Scotland, whether it's domestic football. We want to hear from you on 0141 951 1025. But first, we've teamed up with Call Robert for our pundit predictor. We want you to predict the results of just two games. Much easier this time. Just two games for your chance to win £800. Those games are Czech Republic against Turkey tonight at 8 o'clock and Georgia against Portugal at 8 o'clock as well. We have Graham and Irvine on the line. Graham, how are you?
Fine, mate. How are you?
All good, all good. I think you maybe have the best chance of anyone so far, because it's two games and the way the group's looking, I can maybe predict what you're going to predict. But we'll see. We'll see. You might go for something else. So we'll run through the games. Czech Republic against Turkey. What do you think?
Turkey.
Turkey and Georgia against Portugal.
Portugal.
So you've gone for Turkey and Portugal. Are you going to be watching those games a bit closer tonight than you would have been otherwise?
I'm all day once I get the dog walked, guys.
Lovely, lovely stuff. You know what, we'll put you against Kenny Miller as well, and we'll see what he goes for. Czech Republic against Turkey?
Draw.
Draw, right, he's going for something different. Georgia, Portugal?
Portugal.
Going for Portugal as well. So that is it. Very simple, Graham. All you need to do is walk the dog, then take a rest, sit down, put your feet up, watch the games, and if you're correct, we'll be speaking to you tomorrow night and you'll win £800. How does that sound?
Not too bad, actually.
Brilliant, excellent. Right, we will speak to you then tomorrow night. We'll find out whether you've won £800. That is all thanks to Call Robert. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. I think he's got a decent chance, Turkey against Czech Republic, but Czech Republic do need to win to go through. That could be the one that maybe mixes things up.
Yeah, you would fancy that. I think towards the end, you can even see a lot of the games when they get to the latter stages, when teams need to win, they just throw caution to the wind, they throw bodies forward, a lot of spaces appear. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I mean, you would fancy Portugal strongly against Georgia, but the other one will be a tight game.
Yeah, just looking at the two ongoing games at the moment, Slovakia 1, Romania 1, Ukraine 0, Belgium 0, which means all teams would finish on 4 points quite miraculously. Romania would go through top with a goal difference of 1. Belgium would finish behind them also with a goal difference of 1. Slovakia would be in third place with a goal difference of 0. Ukraine would go out with 4 points, but because they'd finish fourth with a -2 goal difference, that would be a cruel way to go through on 4 points, wouldn't it?
It would be, listen, again, and it goes back to that first game, that 3-0 loss. It's been really, really damaging to them, as it proved through the next two fixtures. But to go out with 4 points, I mean, you would rip your hand off when you're a kind of Ukraine or a Slovakia, a Slovenia, a Scotland. You would have ripped your hand off for 4 points before the tournament. You're thinking that would be more than enough to get you through. And the fact is, as it stands right now, going into probably injury time in both games, they're going to be going out with 4 points. So really unlucky.
0141 951 1025 on the phones, whether it's Scotland chat, whether it's something domestic that you want to get off your chest. Maybe you've been thinking about it for the last few weeks and haven't been able to talk about it. Well, now is your opportunity. There have been a few stories kicking about. We'll start with the official confirmed news today. Sead Haksabanovic leaving Celtic. He's off to Malmo. No surprise, really, that he's on his way out. Had that loan spell at Stoke last season, didn't look to be anywhere near Brendan Rodgers' plans. Does that look like the start of a bit of a clear out? Because Celtic do have quite a lot of fringe players like that that they need to get off the wage bill, you'd suspect.
Yeah, they were, and again, they had an abundance of wingers as well, and they signed a lot of wingers last season as well. I mean, I remember sitting here this time last year and they were talking about we need to sign this, they need to sign that, and there were so many players in that position. And then obviously the former James Forrest, who came back into the fold as well in that position towards the end of the season. So it's no surprise to see him leave. You know, clearly wasn't going to be part of Brendan Rodgers' plans moving forward. He had his loan spell and now he's left, and that maybe frees up some wages where they can then go and be looking. A lot's been made as well, but the amount of money Celtic have got, and they've got to spend. But again, you don't want to be having this massively inflated first team squad, so this looks like it could be the start of it.
Yeah, another story that interested me last night was a story that sort of moved on a bit in the space of about an hour. It was a story from the Daily Record that initially said that Jack Butland was set to be named Rangers captain next season. Some sort of sources close to Ibrox said that that wasn't the case. There was nothing in it. The story has now changed to Jack Butland set to be named the Rangers captain if James Tavernier leaves the club. What do you make of the whole scenario? Because it's quite an interesting one to come out anyway. But the fact that there's suggestions that there's maybe already talk about who would be the next captain after James Tavernier, does that possibly signpost that something could be happening with James Tavernier's future this season?
Listen, it definitely points to something and some kind of movement going to be happening. And I think if, in Glasgow, there's no smoke without fire. You know, there'll probably be some kind of element of truth to the story. And it may be down to the fact that if James leaves, I had the feeling towards the end of last season that this might be the summer he would leave. Obviously, he's been linked with a couple of ex-managers and Steven Gerrard and Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. So it wouldn't surprise me if James left this summer, which would then leave, obviously, the captaincy open. And I think with how many callers did we have at the end of last season crying for maybe Jack Butland to be given that. But again, he's a player that's been a lot of speculation surrounding as well, and the future does end up back down in England in the Premier League. So if there is truth to it and Jack Butland has been named the captain, I'm sure the club must have had assurances that he's going nowhere.
There has been speculation previously about James Tavernier and leaving. There's obviously the links specifically now about potentially going to Saudi, a reunion with Steven Gerrard. Does this summer seem like the most natural parting of ways that there's been, that it could culminate in something?
See, if there's any truth to these rumours, James Tavernier will not be a Rangers player at the start of the season. I just can't see it. There's just no way that he could still be there. How would that affect him? You know, how would that affect the player to have been the captain for what's that been since 2018, since Steven Gerrard came, 6 seasons as a captain, and then to have it kind of taken off you, and particularly when you've been such a big player and top one of the, again, I think we've talked about it on the show, there's no doubt over every season James Tavernier has been a Rangers player, he's been a top two, top three performer. So I think that suggests to me that there will be movement on James's future.
How hard will he be to replace? Because he's obviously been the captain for years now, but on the pitch, he has such an influence in an attacking sense. The goals he scores, Rangers will need to replace in some way. You wouldn't expect it would be with a right back, but if he's scoring, you know, 20 plus goals he got this season, loads of assists as well that are coming from right back, Rangers are going to have to do quite a big reshuffle to make sure that those goals and assists are coming from elsewhere in the team.
Absolutely, because they won't be coming for a right back. It's as simple as that. You know, I mean, I think the strikers might be pretty happy the fact that they might be able to get back on the penalties and get their numbers up. But what it does mean is that, and you're bang on, that wingers, definitely your Todd Cantwells, your Tom Lawrence's types, your tens, your attacking eights, they need to be chipping in with more, because that is a big, that's a lot of goals to be losing. And let me tell you as well, James Tavernier, if he does leave Rangers, it's not just the number of goals, it's the big goals. I mean, just look at the goals this season. Old Firm goals, cup final winning goals. He's been a go-to guy in that Rangers team, so it'll be a massive hole if he leaves.
Well, that is all for tonight. Thank you very much for your calls. Thank you for your tweets as well. We'll be back tomorrow night. We'll have the Pundit Predictor. There'll be £800 on the line. It may roll over as well. Kenny Miller, thank you very much to him in the studio. I'll be back tomorrow with Cammy Bell. Remember, you can listen back on Catch Up, wherever you get your podcast. You can watch the whole thing back on YouTube as well, Facebook and Twitter, by searching Clyde1SSB. And stay right there, because it's Callum Gallagher. It's up next.